you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, June 28th, 2017, and one high-octane, high-capacity individual to another. How's it going?
Are we high-capacity, high-octane?
I think so.
Do you think so?
I think so. I think knowing your past few days, and I've recounted...
I'm tired.
I know. Both of us thought, wow, next week we're going to have that one day off. And in fact, I have some things going on, so I'm going to have a little break. But I know your past weekend, you had that neat men's fellowship, mm-hmm, preaching on Sunday, preparation for the disciple-making workshop or mm-hmm. our sessions, the various things you have going on. And I think the last few days I've worn out a few people. I won't even bring up ping pong, but on Monday and Tuesday they got their fill of ping pong mm-hmm. and some of the other things happening. I had Herb, the radio servant, here yesterday working on the tables. We picked up three tables late Monday night. Or was that Tuesday night? Tuesday night. What's ace today? Today's Wednesday.
Okay. Today's Wednesday.
Oh, Monday night.
What day is it? Yeah. What year is it? Yeah. Help us.
So I shared all those God sightings, but we're getting the tables all ready to have out. And the internationals, it's kind of been interesting because we have one more week and we'll close out the six-week session. But we're electing to go with just a Thursday class in the future. That'll begin basically at the end of July. I got to look at my dates, but we're going to go with just Thursdays and 10 a.m. till noon. The students wanted longer time with us. And many of the teachers, instead of coming every Monday, Thursday, we're going to transition to just Thursday. So a lot of things going on. Unshackled, everyone, if you want to go up to the Pacific Garden Mission, the date will be Saturday, August 26th. We're going to take one or two motor coaches because that evening during the worship service, the Singing Men of GNN will be presenting. And so basically,
they did that a couple of years ago, right?
Yes, it was phenomenal. I think it was about 700 or 800 people in the audience. And what's nice is it's very interracial, people from all different backgrounds and life experiences. I mean, they really worship a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And so we'll basically probably leave around noon, go up there, we'll get a tour of the Pacific Garden Mission, mm-hmm. and then you see the Unshackled presented, and it's kind of live and neat and sound effects and all that. Then we have dinner there. Then there's about an hour or so worship service, and we'll be presenting the Singing Men of GNN. So I'm thinking we'll have a bus or a portion of a bus with the Singing Men, but there'll be room for some Great News Radio mm-hmm. listeners. And then hopefully enough people say, oh, we want to do that. That sounds exciting. And we'll fill
what
up another
motor. What did you do last time? Two buses last time?
No, just one. And some of the Singing Men, a couple different vans came up.
Oh, okay.
So there was enough seating for, I think we had about 20 listeners.
Hmm.
So this time I think we could probably get 50 to 60 listeners
yeah.
if we get a second bus. And it'll probably be $30. Uh-huh. Which will cover the bus and some snacks, and obviously there'll be a meal there at the Pacific Garden Mission and a tip for the driver. So
are you gonna station yourself between the two buses? Because
yeah.
I know you like to provide the on bus entertainment.
Yeah, I'll have to get you to come along, and you'll be on bus A and bus B or something.
I don't think I could do what you do.
Yeah. So the date is Saturday, August 26th. I'll probably in the next few days or next week or so have a sign up for that and how to do that on our website. But the date is Saturday, August 26th, probably leaving Marketplace Mall around noon or 11 o'clock. Last time I think we went, it was one of these unusual times where it snowed and then they had all this traffic and cars were sliding backwards. It was kind of a crazy time. But we'll go when it's nice and warm and it'll be nice. And let's see. Herb, the radio servant, yeah, he's working really hard the last few days here. Building community with other tenants here at Lincoln Square. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at my notes.
buy bread.
It was funny. I had an outline for a class that I was facilitating the other day, and I had notes and everything and scripture verses, and, it all laid out, and people were pretty impressed, and I said, this is more for me than for you, because if I don't have an outline to follow and stay on, you know, what's when the train,
I know already,
the reels, yeah,
you
could go off track. So.
You just go, and all of a sudden it's like, oh.
Yeah, yes. So, lots of great ties being made with the tenants here at Lincoln Square, with the ping pong that's been going on, and the Lincoln Square Times that you've helped put together, and we have some new stories for the new edition coming up, and various friends that have stopped in. So just continue to love what God's doing here. And I guess I mentioned that continue to be praying for how God would use the Great News Radio Center and some other decisions that we hope to make in the coming days, and how God would be glorified, and we would be attentive to His specific plan and purpose, and if we would expand, or how that would look, or what that would be like. And so we just want to always be in the center of His will, but we're thoroughly enjoying being here in Unit 112 and utilizing so much more of the mall, with our ping pong tables being out and some of the other things that we're doing and hosting here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thank you, God, for all those that are supporting our ministry. And it's always fun. I spent a couple hours the other day signing thank yous. I got a few weeks behind, and it was like, oh, this person just gave, and thank you for this person and this special gift. And as they used to say, did you ever have it at Jewel where you would say, together we do better?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have the other one, the neckerchief? I used to scream this out over all the aisles. Let's go. Let's go. Less jaw, more paw.
Oh, less jaws, more paws. We used to say that.
Yeah, I better be careful. Jason and I, we both were store managers and worked our way up with Jewel food stores for many years. So I guess you'd say we're a little jaded when it comes to some of these things.
A little?
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not there anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I moved on.
Yeah, I moved down too.
Yeah. Oh, like moving on into the book of Romans. That's always a good one to move into.
Wow, what a transition there. You did really good. That was wonderful. Yeah, the book of Romans. You know what we've been doing is, book of Romans is going to be the study that Bible Study Fellowship is going to do this fall. So kind of maybe as an early, anybody who's interested in doing that, if you're a guy, they're going to meet on Mondays at 6:45 at the First Baptist Church in Savoy. If you're a woman, they're going to meet on Tuesday morning at 9:10 at First Christian Church. I think that's in Savoy too, isn't it?
That's actually West Champaign.
Champaign. Yes, yeah, Staley. No, you can't tell anymore.
Yes.
You just don't know where things are at. But they're going to study the book of Romans. And so when we ended this last time at BSF, a bunch of the guys in our group, I said, there is no way they can get through the book of Romans. It is so dense. And I said, let's get together at... This is one of those decisions that you
make on the fly.
You make on the fly, and then when you actually have to do it, you go, well, what was I thinking? Where I said, hey, you know what, let's get together at 6:30 in the morning, and we'll study the book of Romans. So the book of Romans is already hard for people to study when they're wide awake and everything's wonderful. And then it's like, well, let's do it at 6:30 in the morning. You know, this pairs up with a great decision I had. I think it was probably about 10 years ago when I was back in the Peoria area, and I said to a bunch of guys, we should get together at 6 in the morning and study the book of Leviticus. I should have remembered and learned from that lesson, but I did not. But it has been.
And the factor, the 6 or 6:30, it's not like you suddenly beam me up, Scotty, and you're right there. You have to wake up at like 5 or 4:30 or 5:45.
Five. And here's my thing. It's really strange. I don't know why it is, but I set the alarm on my phone, and I must subconsciously think it'll never go off, because every time I set the alarm on my phone, I wake up 10 minutes before it's supposed to go off. So yesterday morning, you wake up at like 5:10, and I'm wide awake, and there's no going back to sleep. And yeah, so we get together and we study the book of Romans, and it has been really rich. It's been super rich. And 15 guys are getting together, and we're just looking at the book of Romans.
And where do you meet? Is it at a
Einstein's,
coffee shop?
Yeah, Einstein's Bagels over on Prospect. And we were in Romans chapter 3 and 4. And there's just some amazing things that I think that we can learn from the book of Romans, you know, and just try and understand. Now, Romans, when we have to understand kind of the background of the book of Romans. And what had happened was the Jews were in Rome, and they had founded a Jewish church. And the Roman politicians kicked the Jews out. Well, the Gentiles were left, these pagans who had converted to Christianity. They were left to kind of mind the church, to kind of take care of the church. And so they held the church together the best they could, and they helped to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jews returned. And then there was kind of some tension because, you know, the Jews were coming back and they're like, well, you know, we're God's chosen people and we know better than you. You're just converted pagan. You know, I mean, in kind of Judaism, that is the way it sees it. It sees proselytes, people who have converted to the faith, as different than people who mm-hmm. are, you know, purebred born Jews.
Right.
And so that's the reason why Romans 3 actually says things like, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because what was happening, and we see it a lot in Paul's letters. Paul writes, if you were to say, what are the top five things that Paul writes about in his letters? Paul writes about the sufficiency and magnificence and strength of Jesus Christ, the gospel. Then he writes about sin, because he needs to take care of the gospel and sin. And then the third thing that Paul writes a lot about is unity. He writes about people getting over themselves and getting together and glorifying God as the church. And so,
and that's because he probably saw a lot of disunity or fighting.
I think that, but I think if you do church long enough, whether you're doing church in Rome back in Paul's day, you're doing church in Ephesus in Paul's day, Philippi, or you're doing church today in Mahomet or Champaign or Urbana, unity is always an issue in the church, because when you get a bunch of people together, they just don't want to get along. And so Paul writes a lot about unity, and even when he's addressing the Corinthian church, like when James is writing, I believe it's in the second chapter of the book of James, he talks about the sin of partiality, mm-hmm. where there were rich people who were coming to the table, and they were making poor people wait, and they were taking the best of the communion and giving the scraps to them and treating them as less than. And so James is writing saying, no. At the church, and just like at the foot of the cross, it's level. The ground is level. And Paul's doing the same thing when he makes his arguments about unity, or he's correcting the Corinthians. He's saying, look, it's level. There are no haves and have-nots. There are no better and less than. And that's why Paul says... Mm-hmm. In verse 22 of chapter 3 in Romans, he says, for the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So he's saying, listen, all... Not the better and the worse, not the haves and the have-nots. All can believe in Jesus equally. And then he says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Again, he uses the word all to say, you all are the same. You all have the same problem. And for all of you, the same cure is available, and it's Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing, because Paul addresses a foundational problem that I think that we cannot stop having in our churches, and that is that there is nobody who is better. That's one of the messages of the gospel, is none of us were good enough. None of us are you know, we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus makes that same offer of grace to every single one of us equally. You know, I was with a guy a week and a half ago, and he had just finished serving and doing something, and it was really quite powerful what he did. And he got done, and he goes, you know what? I bet I'm going to get a big mansion in heaven for this one.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought, well, you know, kind of based on the character of God, I just have to tell you, I think we all get the same room. We all have the same pillows. We all have the same bed. No one will be able to boast and go, I did more. Look at me.
No.
And so it's kind of funny, because you'll hear people joke and they'll say, oh, a few more diamonds on my crown. No, the only one who's wearing the crown is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, let's just stop like that. But knowing that that's the problem, that you had Jews and you had Gentiles, and you had kind of the Jews who, you know, we're the chosen people of God, and we're better, and we know better, and God loves us more because he called us out of exile, you know, back in the Exodus, like we're talking about on Friday. And so when they returned to the church, I think they started to impose themselves upon the Gentile believers who actually were faithful and held the church together. And so Paul in chapter 4 then says, what then shall we say? Now, Paul has a couple of devices that he uses to transition. He loves to use but now. He loves to use therefore, and he loves to use what then shall we say. And for me, in the beginning of 4, Mark, the what then shall we say is a reminder that this is read. That this was not everybody had a Bible. This was not everybody had a scroll. This was not the Gideons had come and everybody was amply supplied with Scripture. One guy got up and read this. So when 4 begins, what then shall we say? It was a call for the people hearing it to go, ooh, I'm going to have to respond to this somehow, either internally or externally, an amen or an oh my gosh in my heart, because I know I'm guilty of what this is going to convict me of. And so we have to remember that. And he says right away, you know, he's talking to the Jews, because he said, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, So right away, I love it. Paul goes right for the throat.
The jugular. Yeah.
He really does, because Abraham, for the Jews, Abraham would be the hero of the faith. Abraham would be the guy. I mean, if you're Jewish in the room, and he goes, what then shall we say Abraham? And you're like, ooh, Abraham. He's talking about our guy. He's talking about our man. And so he says, what then shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. That's an amazing verse there, because what is Paul's going to talk about is he's going to talk about works. He's going to talk about how you can work all you want, but it doesn't get you one iota closer to God. It does not do that, because your works cannot save you.
Yeah, they were probably just starting to get puffed up, and he took the wind out of them.
Of course. And listen, what is Paul's testimony? Paul's not speaking in a vacuum. You know, I get a lot of guys who come around me, and they'll go, you know, gosh, I got saved out of drugs, and it seems like every time I'm out, I run into people who are struggling with drugs, and that's where I'm able to share the gospel. Or I was involved in this and saved out of this, and now it seems like I minister to those kinds of people. Yeah, because you know how to speak to that issue. And so Paul is uniquely gifted to speak to the issue of works, because in Philippians Paul says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Yeah. Paul says, if you want to talk about works, you let's talk to me, because I was the man. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecutor of the church, and to righteousness under the law, blameless. And then Paul goes on to say, but whatever I gained, I count as loss for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ. He even goes on to say, I count it as rubbish and garbage, all the other things, when I compare it to what it means to know Christ. And so Paul is saying here, he's saying, I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked. And God came and didn't see any of those things, and instead in his grace gave me a free gift. And so what is our job, do you think, Mark, in terms of being Christians? What is our main job that we have to do as Christians?
Fall down and cry out to God, I need you.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's for sure. But what is our job? What is our main job?
Well, to proclaim this good news message.
And that does what to God?
Glorifies him.
It glorifies him, right. And so this verse really hurts when it says that, because it says if Abraham was judged, justified, if he was judged, his righteousness by his works, then he does have something to boast about, his own works, but not before God, which means that none of what Abraham could do in his own strength brought God any glory. And we know that, right? What did Abraham do in his own strength? Oh, that's not my wife, that's my sister.
Yeah.
You know, a great moment for Abraham. But you know what? He wasn't able to glorify God. You know what happens? This is what I think happens when we exist in the world of works. And Romans actually speaks to it, because Romans says here that when we do our works, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Other translations call that debt. And so what that's saying is that when we work, we don't count the currency that God gives, which is grace. God's currency is grace. Mm-hmm. Our currency is work, because that's where we think we can get our identity from. If I just work harder, if I just do more, we even talk about it. You know, we mess up in our marriage. Well, maybe I can work myself back into a good place. Maybe I can earn his favor. Maybe I can earn that forgiveness. We always think we can work and earn things. And God goes, no, you can't earn a darn thing. My currency is grace. But you know what I think we do sometimes in our Christianity? Is we go, you know what, God, I got up at 5 in the morning and I read my Bible and I prayed and I served the poor and I went to church every week, so you know what, you need to answer my prayer. Yeah. God becomes kind of so what we do is we use our obedience and our work and our obedience to try and put God in our debt. To try and say, God, you owe me because I'm so stinking obedient and faithful. And God goes, no. We have two different monetary systems here. I deal in grace, and for some reason you're dealing in that currency of work. And by the way, that is only going to lead you to sinfulness. And by the way, the wages of death is that. And so if you want to write checks out of that account, brother, you can do that, but it doesn't go well. Instead, I'd like to write you a check out of the account called grace, and you don't have to even worry about it because I paid for it all. And that's what Romans 4 begins when it's talking here to tell us. Is that there's nothing we can boast in our work about. But instead, it's the free gift of God. And we can't lay that work in front of God and go, look, God, look how awesome it is. And God goes, no. Because you did it without me. And so I think the challenge, when I read this
text, and then I'm just thinking the other thing, even if we did create some good works, it's only because he equipped us or gave us the strength or the wherewithal or the perseverance or the attitude to do it.
Let's just take a moment and just look at the 66 chapters of Isaiah and just admit Isaiah was awesome. I mean, Isaiah's faithfulness and his fearlessness to go and to speak to wicked kings and to try and correct him. I mean, and even what Scripture doesn't speak to, but church history does, is that Isaiah died probably being sawed in two. So let's just admit Isaiah's awesome. Okay? And Isaiah says in his own words, "My best stuff is filthy rags compared to what the Lord has done." And so that's what I think sometimes we get so heady and we go, "Gosh, I'm awesome." And no, you're not awesome, but God is awesome. And his invitation is that he would strengthen you by the power of his Spirit through the gift of his grace, that he would allow you to see that the playing field at the cross is absolutely level, and you've been invited to come and boast in him. You know, what does the song say? "I will boast in nothing but Christ in him crucified." And in that, my hope is put in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
I'm thinking of the song, and I'm looking for it right now, by Keith and Kristen Getty, "In Christ Alone."
In Christ
That's
alone,
closing out with that song.
My hope is found. He is my life, my strength.
And you're hearing the song.
Do I sound like her, right?
Right, yeah. Listen, make the comparison, everyone.
I mean,
right
it really
now.
Sounds like her, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just want to tell you.
All right, everyone.
Reading from the book of Ephesians.
Be in Romans, and then join us on Friday as we continue our series in Exodus. So
We'll call that, because of the weekend, Friday Fireworks.
All right,
an explosive time of Bible.
Right here on Great News Radio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ.